in prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we are grateful unto you for this moment that we have. We thank you for your safe traveling mercies upon the family of God and for the many, O God, that are on the way. We are grateful unto you, Father, for this opportunity we have that we could gather around your precious word. Even as, Father, we would continue tonight, we ask of you to inspire our hearts. Lord, that you bless your servant, our dear Pastor Tony. Guru Lal, we also pray for the believers across the world that are streaming in tonight. We ask, O God, that you be gracious to bless them as well. Even as we continue, minister to our hearts now, and we give you glory in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody said, God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats. Amen. I greet you in the name of our God, our Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's good to be back in the house of the Lord, and we want to welcome all the visitors and the families of God. The weather has been actually quite terrible, and sometimes you wonder how come the weather was so bad. You'd find that wherever we travel and wherever we do subjects like this, we always have problems. Whether it's in Durban or whether it's across the world, we have problems, and you may wonder why. It's because the enemy would never want us to have such meetings, because the Prophet of God tells us of the millions of demons that's leashed upon the bride. Amen. So we had to come to different roads and so forth just to try and get here, because the roads are quite bad. And we've had some good, just a couple of reports, we've had some very good meetings in Eastern Pretoria, where we presented the subject on the mystery of indwelling and Godhead. And we've had 8 people that came off from one of the normal churches, and they've come to realize that this is the truth, and they have been rebaptized. So we've started another work in Eastern Pretoria. So pray for them. Amen. So far, also 2 months ago, two works started in Zimbabwe as well, where we have 2 elders out there that's ministering the word of God. So we find that it's amazing that there's such a thirst for the word of God. And much of the things that Pastor Tony was talking about there is that about the mystery of indwelling and how God dwells in us. And many people had this opinion that God himself dwells in us, because that is what people preach about all the time. But when we began to show what the Prophet of God tells us, is that God can only dwell in his Son. Amen. Amen? Because if God dwells in us, then we become the incarnate God. Hallelujah. Amen. So God dwells in us by his mind, by his characteristics. Amen. And that is why you'd find that we need to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what the Bible tells us, that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So they've really enjoyed themselves, because you'd find that one can read the messages, but unless there's a gift to find the hidden key and those things that the Prophet speaks about, one will just read over it. So there's a tremendous thirst in Africa. That's what we are seeing right now, where people are just wanting more of this truth. And remember, Pastor Tony, he has a month of meetings ahead of us. Not in Durban itself, but he might tell you himself. So just pray for him, and also that the Lord will strengthen him. Let's all rise to our feet. We will prepare our hearts for God's precious word, and I trust the good Lord will bless you. Only believe all things are possible as we would prepare our hearts for God's precious word.
Only only Father, we are here not because for silver or for gold, to be seen, to be heard. We recognize the signs of the time, recognize the urgency that is upon us. We see the world falling apart, Father, and our hearts are looking unto Thee, lifted up. You say, look unto Me, all the ends of the earth, for Thou art God. And that's what we are looking at, Father, tonight. I pray tonight, Father, that as we endeavor to enter into this great promise that is only for the end time bride, for a special class of people, for people, Lord, that You said is one in a million, people who You said was a super race who will come into the very image, Lord, to be waved, Lord, as a finished product, that all the others that lay down going all the way back to Pentecost can be connected and rise together, Father. So we realize the importance of this promise. We realize our importance of the placing and positioning of the bride. And help us now, Father, as we look into Your Word, that we can, Lord, the promise will yield itself to us. We will not have to try. We will not have to use mental powers or reasoning. But the great inspiration that's promised for us will be poured out upon us freely, given by grace, Father. We are thankful for the opportunity now to be here and to be used of Thee. May You make us a blessing and bless Your people in such a way that this weather and whatever hindrances there might have been, Father, Lord, that they would, this investment that they've made tonight, Lord, that there'll be many dividends that they would receive. We commit it, we bind every spirit, Lord, that would hinder. And we ask that You just anoint us and let us forget about our surroundings. Let us, Lord, be taken up in heavenly places tonight. Bless this assembly. Bless the pastor, the elders, Lord, the government. Bless each and every one who contributed and the sacrifices that were made here. Let it be, Lord, just like the weather today, let it be also a landmark, Father, is our prayer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I want to invite you to the book of Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 8 and 1. I greet each and every one of you, and once again, it's a great pleasure to be with Kenville Spoken Word Tabernacle, and a great, great joy to be in fellowship with Brother Louis and the elders that are here tonight, and to say thanks for everything that you have done along the way in helping to support this ministry and to take the gospel to the different parts wherever the elect of God is gathered. Amen. Now, I'm not going to do too much preliminaries because the weather is bad. We are already late. And so I want to get right in it tomorrow. Maybe the time would be a lot better to share some comments to you. So we want to do right into it. And I'm going to read the scriptures and we will try to ask the Lord to help us tonight. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servant of our God in their foreheads. Amen. Revelation chapter 8 and 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated tonight. Tonight we are talking about the seventh seal, seven thunders for the next today and the next two nights. It's the most vital subject there is. It is where the bride has her end time blessings, end time anointing. But as you are going to see, that this seventh seal is not just connected with the living, it is connected with the finished product. It is connected with meeting the Lord in the air. So I want to start by reading some scriptures, for some quotes. Tonight I'm laying out the material. The prophet taught us how to build. He said, if you're going to build anything, you must be like God. He said, what God does, he first lays out all the material that he would need. And then he starts taking it and put it in the places that we need to do. So we cannot do better than our God, is that right? So anytime you're going to teach, what you do, you gather all the material that is relevant for the building. And then you take it and you lay it out there. Then you start, you know, placing them in different categories according to the order that you're going to use it. And then you build on that. All right, so now we're talking about this seventh seal. So I'm going to read a couple things for you to lay the material out there. The prophet said, notice, it is the end of the church age. It is the end of the seven seals. It is the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. And ends the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. So, the seventh seal is the climax. Is that right? The seventh seal is the climax. For the bride, the climax, and I'm going to start putting little notes so that we can pick them up later on. So, you notice... It is the climax. It is the finish. And we know the bride's message finishes under the third pull. Is that right? So we are automatically going to see that that third pull is going to be connected to that seventh seal, because the third pull, the bride comes to her finish. She finishes under the third pull. She comes back into the image. She comes back into the full inheritance under that third pull. So the third pull, we're going to notice, is going to be under that seventh seal. And we are going to connect that with the prophet's message in the beginning. So let's put down all the material that we do know. If the seventh seal is the finish of all things, and the seventh seal, what finishes the bride, what the bride comes under for her finishing, for a final result, is the third pull. So the third pull is the second climax. The prophet told us that his ministry had two climaxes. The first climax was the first two pulls. I should put it differently, shouldn't I? I should put the first and second pull. Right? And then the seventh seal is the third pull. So you say, Brother Tony, is this under the seventh seal? Is this under the seventh seal? Yes, this is also under the seventh seal. But this is the Son of Man in power. This third pull is going to be the opening of the word. And the opening of the word has to come with the opening of the seals. And with the opening of the seals, Brother Branham says, there's no higher order of the opening of the word but prophets. And therefore, you have this third pull, which is the Son of Man coming in cloud and glory. So right away, we are beginning to show that the prophet broke his message, or the Son of Man, into two parts. A first climax and a second climax. We did not do that. He did that. Is that right? Then the Lord broke it up into two parts again. Son of Man in power, right? Then Brother Bram says, in the unveiling of God, he says, all God's glory is in His Word. And all God's Word comes behind a man that has to be unveiled. So the glory of God was in His Word and it went behind Moses. Is that not right? Right? And then the Son of Man come in cloud. Well, we know that that cloud is Revelation 10:1. I don't care what, you know, other people say it wasn't, supernatural or not. But for us bride, when a prophet ties himself to something, we don't have to question that. Because we are not vindicated. Is that right? Look, somebody's going to answer for you. Right? You're either going to answer for yourself, or your pastor is going to answer for you, and William Branham is going to answer for that pastor, or some other false preacher will answer for him. But somebody is going to answer for you. Right? So wouldn't it not be better if Brother Branham answers for us? Amen? Because somebody is going to do it, because you're going to be somebody's fool. Is that right? So might as well be a fool for Christ, and a Christ for today is the messenger of the age, the anointed one. So, Son of Man in cloud of glory. So, we're looking at 10:1. Now, I'm going to try to take this as simply as possible, but I can't take it too simple because, for the simple reason, we have three nights, and as you're going to see, there's a lot of material. So, I'm going to bring it in such a place that the ministry can take it on. All right? So, it is the seventh seal, is the finish of all things. The second thing it wants to tell you, it is like a firing of a rocket into the air. And that rocket explodes, and it goes up, and then it explodes again. It puts out five stars. One of these stars explodes. So, what you're going to find out here is that under the seventh seal is a manifold. Is a manifold, manifold or unfolding of that. There's many unfolding of that seals. Of that seventh seal. And I am just going to lay it out easy for you. That the seventh seal has many unfolding. Right? It unfolds into many phases. And I'm going to just give you one. I'm going to say that the seventh seal unfolds in a threefold manner. It unfolds in a threefold manner. Alright? And I'm laying the material out. I'll come back and prove it in the end. The seventh seal unfolds, and I'm going to show the threefold manner is going to be shout, voice, and trump. Now, under the shout, there's going to be many folds. Under the voice, there's going to be many folds. And under the trump, there's going to be many folds. Right? So you can see that once you start breaking it up, because this is the element of the living, this is the element of the dead, this is the element to meet the Lord in the air, this is also the element of 40 days on the earth, this is also the element of going over to Moses and Elijah with the Jews. So you see how many unfoldings of it. Right? It just keeps exploding. Now, once you get into the shout, you're coming into the image, you come into adoption, you come into the visible union, which is to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that don't stop there. On that is now the living and the dead joins together to meet Him. Then that unfolds into the judgment seat of Christ, which is the Bema Bar. That unfolds that in that Bema Bar, crowns are given out, rewards are given out. And then your seats, the seat that you sit for the supper is assigned to you. Where on the supper table you sit, it's not determined whether you're a son of God or not. That is determined by your labors. That determined by your labors of love, your sacrifices. How you performed in the office God called you for. And has nothing to do whether you're a preacher or a prophet. That has to do with service. Alright? Then you get, remember when you were invited to a supper, don't go and sit on the chief seats. He said, lest they come and remove you and you come to shame. Those seats are assigned according to labors of love. You see, not on sonship, not because your calling is a preacher or anything like that. So you see, that is why we should aim for the incorruptible crown. That's why we should try to live to have no mark against us. That we cause no stumbling with anyone. You see, and do that part that God called you for. If He called you to be a prayer warrior, be the most earnest prayer warrior that you can be. If He called you to be, just a helper in your church, you be the best helper. Don't look at what anybody else is doing because God is watching you. You see, that is not based on sonship. You understand? Because sonship is not in our hands. You have no control of your father giving you birth. You never give yourself genes and traits and those qualities. You have nothing to do with that. But how you act has a lot to do with it. How you handle those responsibilities have a lot to do with it. Is that right? Because once you see, if you preach election, predestination, and sovereignty, without letting the church know that your position in the supper and your placing in the supper is based on your performance. Is that right? It is. So there are many unfoldings. You can see the Bema bar. You can see the supper, right? Then you see you coming back for the millennium reign. Because he tells you right here, even the end, the ushering of the millennium, that's under that seventh seal. So as you see the many, once you take a doctrine, it starts unfolding, unfolding, unfolding. But then you have to jump over on the other side to pick up the next side. So that's why it's just like a rocket unfolding. Don't ever get in your mind about, and we're going to get this, that the seven thunders are seven mysteries. Okay, that's wrong. Seven thunders is not seven mysteries. Second, seven thunders is not the seventh seal. One thunder is a red horse rider, one thunder is a white horse rider. That's not true either. Right? Seven thunders are not seven men. That was propagated in the 80s. That seven men called the Sons of Thunders in the U.S. Junior Jackson was one. Thornton was another one. And there were five others. You were in the days, Brother Henry. Those that was not true. Okay? Then there is the seven thunders, is the seven virtues. That's the Coleman teaching. Picked it up in 1977 in Don Quixote Mountain in Puerto Rico. That was not true because the thunders produce rapture in faith. And faith cometh by hearing, but virtues come by suffering. I can't hear you. Virtues come by suffering. And these seven thunders were not open or they were not uttered until the descent of the mighty angel. The mighty angel descends, then thunders utter. There was no mighty angel descending in the first church age. I can't hear you. Is that right? So there was no. So the virtue, Brabham said, you don't even need to be a Christian to have those virtues. Statue of a perfect man. You can have those sadhus in India. Don't eat meat. Don't want to step on an ant. I mean, they can develop virtue, virtuous living. Right? It is when your character is developed because of your faith. I can't hear you. Then, the character with that nature is what God wants. You can have the character without the nature. That's an impersonation. Right? Okay. Again. So, it is the end time. Everything the prophet said in the last words there, he says the end of time. See, it ends the time for this. It ends the time for that. Everything just ends under the seventh seal. So right here, you are noticing that this seventh seal is going to start giving you scriptures. Now, this is what I want to tell you. You know, I don't mind saying this. I'm not proud of it. But I cannot preach this without telling you what was taught. Right? Because truth could never be enlightened without the contrast of what is the next thing that people believe it was. Right? You've got to prove it. And the only way you prove a good woman is compare her to a bad woman and see which one is it. Right? So this hurts a little bit. But the first generation formulated doctrine on the seven seal and seven thunders before all the material was brought out. They didn't have a computer until 86, 87. And even today, they haven't printed all the books, spoken word. How can you formulate the greatest of revelation under that seal and come to a right conclusion? So there are a lot of things, even to people who are sitting here who are taught certain things. And so if I say things that seem to be rubbing you, I don't know you personally to do that. But it has to be done. Okay? So seventh seal It's like this. It's the greatest of all the seals. Nobody speaks of it. Seven thunders is a bright message. Nobody tells you what it is. Because the majority of the ministry does not know. But one minister will not tell the other minister he doesn't know. So they whistle through the graveyard. And they give you what is called the short answer. What is the seventh seal? What's the coming of the Lord? What is the seventh thunder? Oh, it's the mystery contained in the seals. But that's as far as we go. That is as far as we go. This is your inheritance. This is your promise. Amen. You've got to know your portion before you can walk the land. If you don't know what the land is, how can you walk the land? Footstep means possession. Right? And we have the bride. We're going to show in this end time. Your message that is not under any other seal. You're not under first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Your message is under that seventh seal. And if you do not, if you're not comfortable, if you're still not aware of what that means and what that is, how can you have faith? It's the most important seal that there is. And it gives itself easily for those who it belongs to. Because in the rapture message, a prophet of God said, to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. In other words, before it ever becomes a process, and before it ever becomes manifested, you've got to, revelation means it comes by hearing. Right? You can't sit without hearing and expect a rapture. And you can't get a rapture and a revelation, a rapture without a revelation, and you can't have a revelation unless it be preached to you. And if it's not being preached to you, it will not happen to you. Let me say that again. In the rapture message, the prophet of God said, for the bride, the rapture is a revelation. Right? Then he makes another statement. The rapture is only for the bride. Right? But the bride is only one in a million. Which means only one in a million will come under ministry who will, God will yield those truths to. Because faith cometh by hearing, and faith is a revelation. Right? So you have got to be hearing what's under that seventh seal. What are those seven thunders? And that's the only thing that is going to transform you. Amen. Right? And you've got to be familiar with the bridal language. Because the Holy Spirit today came teaching you in language that's not in the Bible, but that it is Holy Spirit language. To talk about third pull. Is that right? To talk about third pull, first pull, second pull. To talk about first climax, second climax. To talk about angels standing in the sun. To talk about the journey down to Jordan in paradox. He said, you know, I saw myself two-thirds part of the journey. He said, just one-third part left. Is that right? All of these are bridal language. He's trying to tell you something, but it's not for everyone. Right? Because it's only... Here's words in the rapture message. The rapture is only for the bride. But the bride is only one in a million from the Exodus class. The class that came out under prophet, under pillar fire, under token. Right? That's one in a million. So not every message church is going. Now, one thing I want to get, you know, my idea is to just destroy the traditions, the best that I know. That's the only way we can do it. Because Brother Bram said, what is the veil? What do you mean the word was veil? He said it was veiled by man-made traditions and ideas. Right? So, the only thing to do is when you begin to expose tradition and man-made doctrines, and then you could see something begin to happen. You begin to see the reality. You see? The rapture is only for the bride. Right? And on contrary to what people think, Right? The rapture is a revelation. You can't get a revelation without hearing. You cannot hear unless there's a preacher. He cannot preach unless he be sent. Right? And if he is sent, then God is going to give him a baptism of the Holy Ghost, which means he will have life. Because if life comes to the body, if the man behind the pulpit don't have life, you will not have life. Amen. He catches it first. Right? Otherwise, you are not going to hear it. They are going to play with the message. You're going to play church and go around in circles. Second, you have to determine if the rapture is only for the bride and it's only one in a million. How many churches where their pastors are born again? Because we got the idea that if it's one in a million, it's so small, all the pastors will take the rapture first and you all will be left behind because they catch it first. They should be born again first. Right? But look, almost all the Levites died in the wilderness. I can't hear you. The priests who was burying, the preachers who were burying their people didn't make it. The ones who died under them didn't make it, and they didn't make it either. So I want to get you aware. That is my aim. That is why, you know, my name is circulated so well in the great ones, because we create trouble. It's because we got to clean up the ministry first. And you are wise virgin. You cannot be following foolish preachers. If the man is not a feeder, he doesn't qualify. I don't care how good, kind, sweet, and a holy man he is. Shepherd is feeder. He cannot feed you. It's like a man who said he's a good man, a kind man, a sweet man. He's a dentist. He doesn't know much about the word. Would you like to go open your mouth for a nice, kind, sweet dentist who really a nice man, but he doesn't know much about the word? It's you. The reason, the conditions is because we are taught the church is sovereign, and somehow the church, sovereignty of the church belongs to the pastor. It never said the pastor was sovereign. It says the church is sovereign. You put him there. But now you have come to such a place, and the people have come to such a place, that they eat anything. They wouldn't even say, "Pastor, I'm not being fed." Because if he said that, he would say, "Well, you need to be born again, and then you'll understand. Pastor, we need to hear more about the seventh seal. You see, when you start living right, you know, then God will give it to you." Well, if I could live right and get to perfection without the seventh seal, why do I need it? All of these things have to be broken up from your mind. And when you start looking at these things, you'll see where the danger lies. Spiritual wickedness does not lay in lay members like this. Spiritual wickedness is in high places. Right? That is where we get kept back. Watch again now. The seventh seal is only for the bride. Right? It's only one in a million is going to make it in the bride. It's only one in a million is going to make it in that bride. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You cannot hear lest you have a preacher. You cannot preach lest he be sent. And if God send him, don't you think God is going to give him the right revelation of this seventh seal and this seven thunders? And you say, well, he's not into these deep things. He doesn't go into these deep things. But then God didn't send him. He's not in all these mysteries. He's into love. He's into, you know, loving the bride, being good. But then God didn't send him because God sent William Branham to reveal the mysteries in the end time. And that's the bride's message. It's an excuse they like to use. Well, when I go out, I don't like a man coming preaching doctrine in my church. You shouldn't preach doctrine in people's church. Why should I give a man tiding to come and tell you, you know, be encouraged, the rapture's coming, kick the TV out, you know, dress right. I could get my deacon to do that. Why should I give a man God's tiding to come there and tell my people nothing? Again, it's the end of all things. The breaking of the seventh seal was so great that heaven was hushed by the silence of the space of half an hour. Notice, when the seal broke, there was half hour silence in heaven. It didn't say anything about earth. Right? So when the seal broke, half hour silence began. Now it is great. What is it? It was hushed. Heaven. There wasn't one thing moved for a half an hour. All right? So the breaking of the steel is a half an hour of silence. It was so great, Jesus never mentioned it. None of the rest of them. John couldn't even write of it. No, sir. He was forbidden to write here. You see, he didn't write it, but it's just silence. I'm going to wait on it. I was going to get to it, but I'm just going to wait on it. Now, there are three things that goes on. One class that says the seventh seal is not open. And so they wait. That leaves the many different diverse doctrine. When you see the seventh seal is not open, you say the third pull is not finished. So when you say the seventh seal is not open, you're looking for either the rise of an eighth angel. See, one leads to the other. Or you're looking for a return ministry of Brother Branham to come and finish it. Which means what lies in the books and tape cannot give rapture and faith. Right? So you're looking that your concept, what you say, what somebody tells you, if it's open, if it's not open, or whatever that concept will end up being, is going to determine the future of how you go on in the message. Right? Now, I don't know about you, but if I believe the seventh seal is not open, I believe there's no rapture in faith. I believe that there is no rapture in faith. There is no body change yet. Is that right? And I will see, well, if Brother Branham is going to have to come back and do it, well, I will wait for him to come back, because why should I pay you my tithing since you can't give me rapture in faith? I'm not going to go to a church who tells me that the seventh seal is not open, because I'm not going to pay him anything, none of my tithing, because he can't feed me with any rapture and faith. And if I go to church and I know the next step is rapture and faith, what am I doing waiting for something that I know that I need? So, let it be said clearly, if this message goes out to the people, if your pastor says the seventh seal is not open, just stay home and keep your tithing accumulated for when Brother Branham comes back. And you see how quick they start changing their tune. They'll find a way to get it open for you or explain it to you. Then there's another class. See, it leads to two things. First, the seventh seal is not open. So that leads to the eighth angel. That leads to the return ministry of Brother Branham coming back to do it. Okay? All right. Then they have them that say, it is open. Right? It is open, but they can't tell you what it is. So they tell you, yes, yeah, seventh seal is open. But they ask them what it is. Well, it's the coming of the Lord. Well, what is the seven thunders? There's a mystery contained in the seals. What mysteries? Oh, you know, something that was left over by Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. But look, if I have to go to a preacher to tell me exactly what I read in a book, I mean, him and I are on the same plane. Right? And if him and I are on the same plane, well, I need to go somewhere where somebody's higher than me. Because it says you cannot jump higher than your pastor. And if you're equal to your pastor, you better run for your life. I'm just trying to kind of get our minds prepared for things that are coming. Right? So that is why when they talk about seven seals, they don't preach it, because they don't have any scriptures to label it. After they finish Revelation 10:1, 1 Thessalonians 4, they're done. That's the end of it. Right? They've come to an end. Because there's nothing else. Because seven seals, you're looking at the seven seal as many truths. We look at seven seal as a concept. The seventh seal concept. Brother Bam said you could see it all the way through Genesis. If you see the concept, you see it all the way through the Bible, he said. That's what he said in the seal book. All right, so let's start looking at it. The Lamb took the book when the seventh seal, just ready for it to be opened, the sixth seal. Remember, he hid the seventh seal from us. He wouldn't do it. Now, this is what I want to get to you. It broke, but it wasn't given to the prophet. So when it says, he hid it from us. Not you. You don't get it first. He hid it from me still. Even though I know it broke, he hasn't given to me yet. He wouldn't do it. When the angels stood there that day telling it, but he wouldn't do it on that one. There's silence in heaven. No one knew. It was the coming of the Lord. So let's put this one thing here. Let's write right, right now everything we know. The seventh seal. Under there is the coming of the Lord. It's the coming of the Lord. One. Right, that's one. All right. And no one knows the hour that this will happen. Let's go again. Seventh seal again. Now, none of us know, but I'm going to tell you my revelation of it. And how I am not prone to be a fanatic. If I am, I'm ignorant of it, see? And now, as certain as I'm standing on a platform, I had the revelation that revealed it in a threefold manner. Now watch. So this seventh seal is in a threefold manner. Did he say that? He said, I had the revelation that revealed. So watch carefully. A measure of it began to unfold to him. A measure began to unfold to him. But wait a second, I thought nobody knew anything about it. Right? So let's continue. He said, it's a threefold manner that I will speak to you by God's help of a fold of it. Amen. So that means there is a fold that he knows. Right? He says, I know a fold. I'm not prone to be a fanatic, he said. Right? He said, I know a fold. Let's go over there first. Here's the revelation to begin what? I want to tell you what it is. What happened is those thunders that he heard that was forbidden to write, that was a mystery that laid behind those consecutive thunders rolling out. So, what he's telling me is that this seventh seal, which is written in Revelation 8 and 1, right? It is in a threefold manner. Right? It is in a threefold manner. I know a fold of it. Right? And he says that Revelation 8 and 1, the seven thunders, which is written in Revelation 10 and 1, so Revelation 8 and 1 is the silence in heaven. Revelation 10 and 1, someone descends from heaven. He's not making noise in heaven. The thunder is never uttered in heaven. Someone came down, but there's quiet there, but there's no quiet here. Yes, sir. Something is happening here. Amen. Right? So Revelation 10 and 1, I see a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Rainbow over his head. Is that right? Eyes and feet as flame as fire. And then he said, I know a fold. So Revelation 8 and 1, which is the seventh seal, is we quote to Revelation 10 and 1. So Revelation 10 and 1 to 7, we are going to say that seventh seal too. So what is in the what happens under the half hour of silence? What happens under the half hour of silence? One fold of it, because it's many fold, he said. One fold is the coming of the Lord. Another fold is revealed in a threefold manner, of which I am going to speak one fold of. Right? Then he says, what is it? What is under that seventh seal? He said, the seven thunders uttering. So we begin to see he's beginning to give information. But it's only for the bride. Right? It's only for the bride. He says here, one, it's connected to the coming of the Lord. Second, it's a threefold manner. Third, I know one fold of it. Fourth, I know one fold of it is those seven thunders uttering. All right? So let's look at that. Continue to read. Oh, let me make sure. And then he connects Revelation 10:1, which is the silence, with Revelation 10:1-7. So Revelation 8:1 and Revelation 10:1-7 is the seventh seal. Now why? Let's prove it. Why? It is a secret that no one knows about. John was forbidden to write it, even write a symbol about it. Why? This is why there is no activity in heaven. It might give it away. Do you see it? It is so great. It must be included because it's got to happen when the seven thunders. Notice, it is so great. It must be included. The question about it: what must be included? So let's keep that in our mind as we read the rest of the quote. Something has to be included. Then heaven couldn't write it. Heaven can't know about it. Nothing else, because there's nothing to go on. Nothing to go on. It is so great till it kept from the angels. Now why? If Satan get a hold of it, it might do great damage. I want to stop right there. This 10:7, Revelation 10:7-8 and Revelation 10:1, I am going to show you quotes where Brother Branham said that's going to be the third pull, which is the opening of the word. Right? That's the third pull, that's the opening of the word. Now, I want you to watch another thing about this. Is that Revelation 8:1 and Revelation 10:1, both of them are seventh seal. This unfolds, because Revelation 10:1. So, what is the opening of the word? It is the message. It is the voice. The third is the voice behind the sign. Is that right? So, Revelation 10:1 is connected. Those seven thunders are connected with the voice behind the sign. Is that right? So the seven thunders here, that unfolds into the voice behind the sign. Now, the sign was the sign of the Son of Man, which was the Son of Man in power. So what is Revelation 10:1? Is the Son of Man being revealed in his own word? He's coming to reveal himself in his own word. If the third pole is the opening of the word, you had the first two poles, which is the Son of Man in power. And if there is signs, if there is no message behind that sign, it's not God at all. Is that right? Therefore, the opening of the word, the seven thunders utter, is a message. And that message must be the voice behind the sign, and the voice behind the sign is the message of the Son of Man. Because before that, it was the power of the Son of Man. But if you have power without a message, it's not God. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 4, you have Moses given two signs so the people might believe him. Then if they believe him to be a prophet, they will believe the message he bring come from God. Is that right? And to prove that, God came down in a cloud and vindicated Moses. And God came down and thundered to bring his message after power had gone forth. Right? After the people come out in the Exodus. After Egypt time runs out. The thunders never uttered in the church age. The prophet said, after the denominational time runs out. Right? He said, after the denominational time runs out, because you don't give a message to a church age who already put you on the outside. Is that right? This is the bridal message. So when did God thunder in Egypt? He thundered after the Exodus. After the people had gathered, then he came and thundered. And then they said, don't let God speak. And then God said, I'll no longer speak to them. Amen. But through a prophet. So this thunder, at the time of Revelation 10:1, when it's going to be a thunder, there must be a prophet on the earth at that time. Can't hear you. There must be a prophet on the earth at that time, because you can't have the voice of the Son of Man without a prophet. Amen. Is that right? So I'm going to put here, amen, the Son of Man message, which is the voice, is those thunders. Isn't that right? Okay. And this voice was rejected. This ministry of the two knocks were rejected because in souls in prison, Brabham said, Pentecost reject the ministry under the second pull. Did he say that? Because you say, how can he reject the ministry under the second pull where there's no message come? Because if you see a man tell you all the diseases in your natural body, can he not tell you the problem with Pentecost? The spiritual body? I can't hear you. Isn't that right? If this man can look at your body and correct it, can he not correct where Corinthians made a mistake? Correction? I can't hear you. Can you not try to correct Laodicea and be right? When the Bible said that, you know, they will no longer endure wholesome doctrine. You know that word? It means to make whole, to make healthy. They don't want the healing. The healing of the spiritual church. You only want the natural body. That revival, you see. So now, what's the second pull? He said they rejected on the second pull. If there's a man who can tell you all the secrets of your heart and never fail once, don't you think that man can tell you the secrets in the book? Right? So unless you believe that he is the man who can tell you the secrets in your heart, and whatever he said, whether you agree with it or not, it must be the secrets in the book must be right too. But if you don't believe that he can tell you all the secrets of your heart, then you don't believe in the book. So this voice, now we're looking, they say seven seal is open, but they can't give you a scripture. Because they don't know it's a concept. But once you find it's a concept, then you can find a concept anywhere. Right? So let's look now. Let's go to Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's the I there? Who's the I there? I can't see with the red. You better move the rest, otherwise I'll use them. It's bad habits. Here's another one. Anybody know who's the I there? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, we know the prophet said he stands at the door of the last age. And he's knocking. And why do you knock? You knock to get somebody's attention. Well, Brahman said the first two pulls attract attention. So who's the I there? That's the Son of Man. Knocking from 1946 to 1963. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm chucking attention. If any man hear my, what? The one who is doing the first two pull has a voice. If any man hear my voice, now you've got to do something about it. Is that right? You have got to come to communion with me in this evening time. So, Revelation 3:20, the voice after the knocking is the seven thunders. Right? Let's go now. We're looking again. Luke 21:27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. When did you see the Son of Man for the first time? Son of Man have how many poles? Three poles. Son of Man is who? Son of Man is three things. Son of Man is God in the form of a prophet. Son of Man is a dispensation. And Son of Man is a ministry with how many poles? When did you see the first pole? What year? 1946. Son of Man in power, 1946, with a healing campaign, healing revival. So 1946 to 1963, the Son of Man is coming in power. But he does not come in cloud until Revelation 10:1. Because the voice don't come in the time of the sign. The voice comes after the sign. Is that right? Right, when denominational age runs out. When they fail to get corrected, then he calls them out to a message. So, the way it is written, the chronology of Scripture is not determined in a way that it is written. It is determined how a prophet interprets it. Now, did the prophet tell us Moses had to come with two signs first? Did he tell us power come first before? Let's prove that. Let's hold it. Vindication always is power first, power and signs before word. But when after a vindicated message comes, then after the word, then signs and wonders follow. So that's you and I. Signs and wonders follow the word. But with a prophet, signs and wonders first, the word follows signs and wonders. Is that not happening with Moses? Is that what happened to William Branham? Let's go to the book of Acts 1. And one. Former treatise I have told all that Jesus began to teach. Luke 24:19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. What kind of prophet? Son of Man. What kind of prophet? Son of Man. Mighty in, not word and deed, deed and word. Is that right? Deed and word. He had to prove that God was with this man. Now John 3:2. The same came to Jesus at night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. We know that you're a good teacher. How do you know you're a good teacher from God? Because your teaching is good? No, they can't understand it. I can't understand how I can enter my mother's womb. But we know. How do we know? For no man can. No man can do these miracles. In other words, you know what I mean? We know God is with you. Then we can believe what you say. Is that right? Amen. Alright, same thing with Moses. He said, Moses, I'm sending you. He said, they will not believe me. He said, I'll give you two signs of power first. And then they will believe you. Brother Branham, but they will not believe me. He said, as Moses was given two signs. To cause the people to believe you. Well, you don't even have a message yet. Is that right? But when they believe you, I will have a voice for you at that day. A sign for you. All right, can we go on? Well, I want you to watch again now. Now how, if Satan gets a hold of it, he might do great damage. There's one thing he don't know. Now he can interpret anything he wants and impersonate any kind of gift. Now I want you to stop right there. I want you to stop right there. So this seven thunder is connected. Listen to the language. The seven thunder is connected with the voice behind the sign, which is connected with the Son of Man. Is that right? Which is correct, which has been vindicated already from 46 to 63. Right? Now Revelation 10:1 is coming to bring the message, which is a voice. Right? Now I want to ask you something. I am going to show you that this Revelation 8:1, Revelation 10:1, the voice behind the sign, that's the third pull. Now, why is this going to be a secret? Why does it have to be a secret? Because he wants no impersonators. Because the first pull and second pull, Brother Branham was talking. And he created an age of impersonations. And the angel said, you are to blame for these impersonations. You are the cause for it. You've been explaining and talking too much. So now from 46 to 1955, Brother Branham is on the field. He's supposed to be vindicated so he can prove he is the only voice in the land. But because he spoke so much, he got even Oral Roberts had to have something in his hand. When he feels it a little numb, then he comes out. Brother Branham tells you that in a message. They all now begin to impersonate. Now they all want, Brother Branham says, now you can't even have a revival without healing. He said, you can't even have a ministry unless you have divine healing now. The very prophet is telling us that. So who caused the impersonation? Who caused Laodicea to be rich? Who brought millions into the church, Pentecostal age? Who caused men to rise up after Brother Branham, inspired by him, and do what he's doing? Who made them rich? Or Robert? He come after. Amen. Billy Graham? No, sorry. It was William Branham's ministry that inspired the healing campaigns that followed after him. And that is why he was, those signs he didn't understand. He didn't understand he was going to have a voice behind that. He started explaining it. And when he caught it, he began to preach on certain sound. Amen. They have sound, but it's not certain because it's not vindicated. They're impersonating, and now there are many voices in the land. So there are so many voices, they don't have to come and hear William. Why would you go when you want healing? To listen to William Branham, when you can get healing from somebody else and you don't have to hear about your clothes and your husband and your wife and your... So in 1956 now, January, his last campaign in California, he's in $15,000 in debt. Because who is going to his meetings? $15,000 in debt. Now the angel is going to tell him, stay home. Stop the food. Say, so what happened in 56, Brother Tony? America will accept or reject the gospel this year. What happened in 56? That they're not coming to the messenger's meeting. He's $15,000 in debt. It was the Jubilee of Pentecost. And he preached Jubilee, return and Jubilee. Pentecost was done. America represented Pentecost. That's where the Jubilee started. That's where the Jubilee ended. Right? And then in 54, he's crying out. Before return and Jubilee, he's crying out invasion of the United States. Invasion of what? Demon powers that was let loose in 1945. Upon Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, he's seen it coming and invading. Not only taking off military, political power, but now going into California to shape church. And what a preacher looks like, and what a church should look like, and what the church order should look like, and how the singers should look like, and how and in Hollywood invaded the pulpit. See, when you invade a country, after you invade them, you have to occupy it. Is that right? And you don't want to occupy it where they are fighting against you. So what do? You re-educate them, and that's what media did. It re-educated them to become Lucifer kind of Christian. So it's called to recondition your mind. And then when you recondition your mind now you don't have to enforce it. You're passing on to them, what it is to be a citizen of that kingdom that you've been invaded. It was invaded until Brother Branham saw what he saw down there was living on the land. Souls in prison. So, did Brother Branham, by speaking, did great damage that now there were many voices in the land? And the only way to know the certain song is two ways. Is by the pillar of fire and by that mystic discernment. And they didn't have that. That's where he comes up now and begin to realize you're trying to do God a service outside your will, even though you have all those gifts. He said, I'm going to tell you how you can tell the certain song. A man with a message must have five things. He must be written in the word. He must come in the right season. He must be a man. He must be a prophet. He must be vindicated with a pillar of fire. Five must. That's how you know a certain sound. And once you find that, now you can have consolation. Now you can have peace. Now you can rest. So the problem was created. So in this third pull, you'll hear him in the seventh seal say, I feel checked. I feel not the same much more. I feel this. I feel that. Why? He's watching himself. Hear what he says. If Satan can get a hold of it, he might do great damage. He already did on the first and second pull. There's one thing he don't know. Now he can interpret anything he wants and impersonate any kind of gift. I hope you're learning. Why did he say that? Because you see, you have to know his past. So you understand what he's checking himself with. He said, but he can't know this. Well, why can't he know this? Because only one that will come to is a prophet. And the only way he can impersonate anything, he's got to see the real. But if the real is not really saying much and giving much away. So was it successful? It was. You say, how do you know it was successful? Because on the first and second pull, everybody was trying to have something in their hand, have a healing ministry. But notice, when Brother Branham came on the scene, as I do the work of an evangelist, notice how many evangelists pop up. Is that right? All sorts of, everything was evangelism. And then when Brother Branham now stepped in from evangelist, he said he called me to be his prophet. Then what check Pentecost today? Everything is a prophet. Evangelist died out. Jimmy Swagger died out. This one died out. Now everybody is advertising prophets. Is that right? They picked up the inspiration. It's a prophetic age. Right? And the next thing I want to go on with is listen to this. So was it successful? That's the thing. Well, let's see if it was successful. Is anybody going around preaching after William Branham that was God manifest in human flesh? No. That he was God veiled, that he was Christ the anointed one? No. We are the only people who come to such conclusions. Because you have to put it between, it's between the lines they put it. Because if you take it up, it sounds fanatic. One person say William Branham was God, and he can be right, and next one say he's wrong. The one who say he's wrong could be wrong, and the one who say he's right is right. Because Moses was God to the people, is how you look at it. Is that right? You could say William Branham was Christ. Moses was Christ. But if they are oneness, anytime you say Christ, you mean the man Jesus. Isn't that right? Once you're a oneness, you only have one. When you say the word Jesus, you're going back to one man. When you say the word Jesus, you're going back. Christ, you're going back to one man. When you say the word, you're going back to one man. Because you, but I'm saying you only have one office, one place, so they can only bring it back there. Right? So let's go on again. Do you understand what he means? Impersonation. But he can't know this. It's not even written in the word. It's a total secret. Now, I want to stop there. In the seventh seal, how many has heard Brother Bam said, you see, God wouldn't permit me to make a mistake. In the seal book, right? Really? Well, you know, God is the one who determines that by the message unfold. Because in the seal book, Brother Bam was still quoting that the fruits was the evidence of the Holy Ghost in the seal book. In the seal book, Brother Bram said, the seven angels hold the seven thunders. In the seventh seal, when he comes to the seventh seal now, he says, no, the seventh angel, the one with the seventh seal, that's the one with the seven thunders. In the seal book, he says, there are seven other seals that are not written in the book. It's not written. 1965, spiritual food and due season, say, I always thought that there were seven other seals on the backside of the book, and it was not even written. He said, I come to find out it cannot be that way. It's not that it's not written in the book. It's hid in the book. He said, you can't get anything outside of the word. Is that what he said? I'll read it for you as the meetings go by. So this statement here is not even written in the word. You have that edited. You have that corrected. Because the Son of Man come to correct the errors. I'm not correcting them. And the angels, everything shut up and so on and so forth. Now, he's continuing in the seal book. Now, I want you to watch carefully. And just then he picked me up and he took me up. This is the seventh seal continuing. He said, then he picked me up and took me and set me up high to where a meeting was going on. Look, like a tent or cathedral of some sort. Remember, when in 1956 now, when Brother Branham, the angel come and told him that the first three pulls, that he failed the third pull because he started explaining himself. He got his line tangled up. And so the third pull failed. So the third pull should have followed 1956. It should have followed 56. Brother Branham had two interruptions in his ministry. The first interruption, 1933, he came in. That's he started seeing the visions and vindicated. He had a short ministry until 1936. 1936, after he had married and had the... He went to his first meeting in Mishikawa, coming back from the fishing trip. He comes and he meets, guess who? The Oneness Pentecostals. Right? Now, remember, in 33, he gets the commission, do the work of an evangelist. That's 2 Timothy, he gets it. But when he comes to 1936 now, when the fulfillment of him to do the work of the evangelist materialized, he went to the Mishikawa meeting. He represented, not only doing the work, Brother Branham represented the seed. And Pentecost represented the shock. And the seed and the shock came together in 1936. Right? And here, Brother Branham now, remember the story. He went and he's hiding in the Pentecostal meeting. And he said, where's William Branham? Where's William Branham? And he said, here he is. Hiding in the shock. And now, the Pentecostal is asking him to come. They want the seed. They don't know what they're doing, but they're calling for the seed. And when the seed comes, the first thing inspiration the seed took is the rich young ruler who is Pentecost. Right? And what did the rich young ruler, what did he come in contact with? He came in contact with the Son of Man. And for what? For leadership. Here's Pentecost leadership coming on the scene. What was the last message he preached before he leaves? Leadership, what was his text? Rich young ruler. Comes on the scene. So, but watch what he did. In 1936 now, he goes, he has all these, he picked up two mysteries there. First he picked up Hebrews chapter 6. Remember, one man was a hypocrite, right? One man was a genuine, a confused Brother Branham, all right? He went to the cave. The Lord showed him Hebrews 6, right? Then he comes back now. The second thing he learned from that meeting was that He got fulfillment of 1933 due to the work of evangelists. Now all these preachers from Texas with their big Cadillac, he said he was booked up for a year to go and preach. And then he listened to his mother-in-law. When he listened to his mother-in-law, then 1937, mother died, father died, brother died, baby died, ministry died. Because God refused to talk to him from 1937 to 1945. These are his silent years. Why? The first book should have started there. But he didn't. So God did not talk. No vision. Listen to my words. No vision. 1937. He said, I pray for people and God wouldn't heal them. He said, I prayed for people and God wouldn't heal them. 1937 to 1945. Interrupted. Now we come, 1946 now, to 1955. He has the first pull in action, he has the second pull in action. Now, what do you think should have followed? What did he do? Not the first pull phase, the second pull phase. He said the third pull. He said you can't get your... So now, that vision of the third pull fishing field. So what did God do? He gave him another vision. And that vision became known in 1956 as the 10th vision. And that 10th vision became known as the third pull. Alright? I'm trying not to miss too much, right? It's like I say, I'll lay out the material today. The next 2 days we go back and we begin to refine what these thunders are. What is that seventh seal? Let's take it all down. Watch carefully. This is the seventh seal. He's going to be telling you this. Hear what he says. So this is the vision he's talking about. And I looked and there was a box, like a little box, placed over in the side. And I seen that light was talking to somebody above me. That light that you see here in the, on the picture. It whirled away from me like that. And went over to that tent and said, I'll meet you there. And said, this will be the third pull and you won't tell. And you won't tell nobody. So when he when people hear the Brother Bram said he didn't reveal this one, he, you know, this is not for the public, and he made those, they thinking he didn't open the seal. The Lamb broke the seal. The Lamb opened the seal. But the Lord is only giving him measures from under that seventh seal. He's only permitting him to know little by little, because he said, my makeup is I'm a very open person. I tell everything. Right? So the Lord is helping him according to his nature. Continue now. So Revelation 8 and 1, Revelation 10 and 1 is connected to the third pole, the opening of the word, which is the fulfillment of the 10th vision. Right? And I don't know. Maybe I don't think we can do this on this trip. But Lord willing, sometime. The tent, brother, God's tent in the end time is a man. Yeah. Brother, I'm saying God stretched his tent in Jesus Christ, and I was Son of Man 2,000 years ago. Is that right? God stretched his tent today. In the days of Moses, God stretched his tent in badger skin, and a cloud came over it to show God was present in that tabernacle. But then God showed you a mystery. He said, what you see in the tabernacle with that tent? He said, I'm going to show you before with Moses. And he take Moses up, who was the tent, and take him up in the cloud. And when Moses came down, the glory of God was veiled in Moses. Because where does God inhabit? His tent. It's not a literal thing, friends. The first pull was a fishing, wasn't it? Was it literal vision? Did he really, when he go to preach the first pull, did you ever see him with a fishing line and a fishing rod? The second pull, did you see a fishing line and a fishing rod? Well, if the first pull, second pull vision was all symbolic, why would the third pull be a literal tent? But the Lord never gave him the interpretation of the vision to tell us. Because why? He don't want any impersonation to say, God veiled behind a man. Because you know what would have happened today. We already have 18 churches and stuff like that. All right. So now, here Brother Branham connects the seventh seal with the third pole. He connects it with the tenth vision. I'm not doing that. He is doing it. And then he says, and in Sapino Canyon, he said, this is the third pole. And there's three great things that go with it. I can't hear you. Three, how many? The seven thunders have a threefold mystery. The third pole has a threefold mystery. You think by coincidence? Watch again now. And there's three great things that goes with it. One unfolded today. One yesterday. And one unfolded. He said, one unfolded today or yesterday. Yesterday. The other one unfolded today. And there's one thing I cannot interpret because it's an unknown language. So watch. Third pole, which is the voice. Isn't that right? And the voice, I already told you, the voice is nothing more than the thunders of Revelation 10:1. Then that voice has a threefold mystery. All right. I'm not going to let this ride. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to give it to you. And then we will go back and take it up. What's the threefold mystery of the thunders? The threefold mystery of the thunders unfolds now to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. But it took him, listen carefully, it took him more than 2 years for God to vindicate it to him. And he only does it, listen, and he only did it in the title of the message called The Rapture. In the rapture, he takes 1 Thessalonians 4:14 through 16. Right? Now, what's 1 Thessalonians 4:14 through 16? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Watch Revelation 10:1. I see a mighty angel descend from heaven. Right? Watch the seventh seal. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. Why? Somebody left. Somebody is doing something that the angels are mystified with. Right? Oh, brother, sister. You know, because the title deed that was in the hands of the original owner is changing position. And the angels know whoever holds that owns it all. That book that's coming down. Everything is centered on that book. Right? Here's what the prophet goes on to say. And in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pull. And there's three great things that goes. They unfolded. The one yesterday, unfolded today. There's one thing, and I cannot interpret. Because it is not known. That's 1 Thessalonians. What is 1 Thessalonians, the threefold mystery? Shout, voice, trump. Now, let us take, why he said one unfolded yesterday, and this is what? Seventh seal, right? Well, let's take why Brother Branham took, let's take this. Why did Brother Branham take Revelation 8:1, and his text for it was Revelation 7? 1-4. Isn't that the text? He said, we got nothing to go on. Right? So he takes the half hour of silence, and for the scripture to take his inspiration, he goes to Revelation 1-4. So there's a half hour of silence. I already told you Revelation 8:1 unfolds into seven thunders, which is Revelation 10:1-4. You could say 7. And this, I say, unfolds into 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself is in heaven, short voice and trump, and that is a threefold manner, shout, voice, trump. I told you that this shout here is the message, and that is called the voice behind the sign, that's Revelation 3:20, that's the voice behind that first two poles. And we also told you that the shout, the voice, and these thunders are all the same. They just unfold so that I can give you an understanding. Alright, so now we want to look at why did he take the test of Revelation 1 and 4. So let's go to Revelation 7, 1 to 4. And after these things, now I want you to notice what happens here. This is in context that the first six seals have already been opened. But it's not placing it in that way. It's telling you something that happened way back in 1914 to 1918. So 1914 to 1918 is what we know as the first woe. Three woes in your Bible. Which is the fifth trumpet in your Bible, which is World War I. Right? Now, what happened in World War I? Well, World War I, Israel came in the hands of the British. And they were supposed to give that back under the Balfour Declaration, but they never did. Right? And the Britain under Allenby took it because they thought they said Allah was coming. They said Allenby was coming, and they left the city. All right. Now, so here now, after these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds, that the wind shall not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. So the four angels is supposed to keep the destruction of the earth. So what was the destruction of the earth? The destruction of the earth is Armageddon. Is that right? It is Armageddon. It's the Third World War. So there's only really one war in three sections. Brabham said if he had continued with this war, it would have destroyed everything. Is that right? So it is one war, but it is interrupted. Right? Interrupted like birth pains. The first one was birth pains on the earth. Second one was birth pains. And he said, it can't take another birth pain. So when in 65 he preached birth pains, he was saying that the earth cannot take another war. But if that war is coming, I've got to gather the bride. Is that right? To take her out of there. So now, watch the scripture. He said that the wind is the war. Notice not the winds. Right? It is one war. Right? Should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor the tree. And I saw another mighty angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Semicolon. Right? And cried with a loud voice with the four angels to whom it was given to earth and the sea. So he cried to them, and when the war began to start, he stopped it right there. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees. So he stopped World War I and he stopped World War II. Because when you look at Revelation 7, when he stopped the first part of the war and the second war came on the scene, what was the achievement of the second war? America becomes a world power. Is that right? The image of beast rises. But one of the most important things, the fig tree put forth its bud. Right? Israel in her homeland, Israel land now comes from the Muslims, the Turks. Then the next war, Israel become a nation. It drove the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, drove them back in 1946. Now, I want to put that down. That's important because right here, you're going to see the mystery of Israel. Because I'm going to show you the reason he took Revelation 1 and 7 for this text is because this is the redemption of Israel. This is the redemption of Israel. Now follow, if I'm hoping I'm going slow enough. So what happened in 1946? The First World War, we have Naomi. Naomi been coming bitter because Mahlon, Chilion, and Amalek are killed outside of the promised land. Right? And now she's going back to Israel. She now has a drive to go back to Israel in a certain season, barley harvest. Right? She's going back in a certain season after World War I. And when she goes back, and you know the whole story, I don't have to tell you. Right? Naomi represents Israel. Their land was in Bethlehem of Judah. That is where the best grain is to come from. That is the city of David. That is where the city of Jesus was to be born. And where? Bethlehem. The best grain is in Bethlehem. Where do you think the best water from the wells are? Bethlehem. Where do you think it's called? The house of God's bread. They reject the bread that come from heaven. They rejected the living waters. And when he did, he scattered them. He blinded them and scattered them. So there are three phases of Israel. There is the blinding. Then there was a scattering. And guess what it is now? He's ready to gather them. And what gathers them? The trumpets. And they all blow at the same time. They're not like us. Our seals have been revealing in part through the ages, but not their trumpets. Their trumpets all come upon them at one time. So their feast of their trumpets all happened between World War I and World War II. Ours had been 2,000 years of the Pentecostal feast. You'll pick that up in Feast of the Trumpet. He tells you that. So the Feast of the Trumpet is the gathering of Israel into their homeland. Now, 1946, the image of the beast comes on the scene. 1946, Israel become a nation. Right? 1946, Naomi is in her homeland. And the time Naomi goes back, Ruth goes back into the land where Boaz is. And it so happened, Boaz is visiting the land at that very time. The Son of Man in power is in the land. At the very time, she's going back into her homeland. Now, watch carefully how this unfolds. Watch the scriptures. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we. Now that we is Moses and Elijah. So under Revelation 7, 1 to 4 are two prophets. And those prophets are Revelation 11, 3 and 4. Let's read it. Until we have sealed the servants with 144,000. I know we have bad weather and whatever, and my time is still U.S. time. So, what is it there? I can't see. 9:10. In half an hour? 20 minutes? 19? Alright. Let's make it a half an hour. Alright? And because I started to lay the material out, okay? And I'll give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. So this is Moses and Elijah, and they will have a 3.5-year ministry. And what ministry will it be? Son of Man. And what their message will be under, that will be the seventh trumpet. Is that right? All right. So now we have Revelation 7, which picks up the ministry of Moses and Elijah, which picks up 3.5 years, which picks up Son of Man, which picks up the seventh trumpet. Now, continue to read. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Is that right? And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth. Now, where did that happen? Is that not Elijah? Now, watch carefully. And devour them. And if any man hurt them, this manner they must be killed. They have power to shut the heavens from rain in the days of Elijah. Is that right? They have power to turn the blood. So here, now these men are coming to plague the land, because in doing so, he is going, every time he plagues the land, he is ready to deliver his children. So this, he is getting ready to deliver the 144,000. And he can't deliver them unless they are sealed. And they can't be sealed without the we. And they can't see you without Son of Man. And they can't have Son of Man unless the seventh trumpet has a message for them. Right? And the message that they have is the atonement. Which is they must now receive Him that they rejected. They must receive Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Because they don't believe God have a son. It has to be revealed to them the virgin birth and the mystery of that birth. That's what the Jew told him. Far be it from God having a son. The prophet stressed that over and over because that is the language of all the Jews. That's the prevalent view. How can God have a son? And then he takes him to Isaiah 9 and he says, who is that? He said, that is God. God how? Emmanuel. God biologically with us. Kinsman Redeemer. All right. Bow down to the heavens and all plague. So when did this happen? This happened when Moses delivered them. To plague the land. All right, so it's the deliverance. Now let's see what else is it. Let's go down here now to the... Keep on reading. Keep on going now. Watch carefully. And they shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And watch now. And their body shall lie in the street in a great city which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. And they are the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the land. Just like Pharaoh. You understand? Like Egypt before the Exodus for the 144, for Israel. So is there a kind of Exodus that happens? That this 144,000 come out of Jewish tradition? Yeah? Okay, so under Moses and Elijah, let's go, stop right there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3 and 14. Let's look at it. Now, remember what we're doing. I've unveiled some of this scripture to show you the seventh thunder, what it is and how it unveils and what it will end up being to you and I. Then I went over here, took Revelation 8 and 1, which is a half hour silence, showed it, it is connected, it is the seventh thunder being uttered, and that seventh thunder is in a threefold mystery, shout, voice, and trump. Right? I showed you the shout is really the voice of the Son of Man. Right? I showed you that the thunders unfold in the mysteries. And then I want to show you why Brother Branham is using for the seventh seal, Revelation 7:1-4 for his text. He said, I have to use it. That's all we have to go on. But a prophet never ties himself with a scripture unless it's pertaining into his subject. His subject is seventh seal. Why would he tell me about the Jews? You said, what I want to know about the Jews? I want to know about us. Watch very carefully. He hides it. He hides it. Watch again. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So they are veiled by tradition. I can't hear you. That's what Brahma, he said, what is the opening of the seal? To correct the error. But what it is that we were correcting? Man's interpretation. Man's tradition. What Malachi 4 come to do? Call us out of tradition. You make the word of God of no effect with your tradition. So now, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, that's the law, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when is it going to turn to the Lord? When Moses and Elijah comes back, is that right? He's going to turn the 144,000 heart back, amen, to the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I can't hear you. Take it back to the old patriarch, and who did Abraham look for? Amen. He looked for a builder, a city whose builder and maker is what? God. He's looking for the new Jerusalem, the true Jerusalem, with the true Israel. The true Israel of God. He's looking for that. So now, so that means Revelation 3:14 all the way down to the 6:17 verse. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Who's going to take the veil away? Moses and Elijah. What are they going to take it away with? With that seven trumpet message. But that preaching for 3.5 years is going to bring that. Now, let's go back to Revelation 11 again, where we were. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice and make merry and send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life come and entered them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon. Now, what happened? Under Revelation 7, 1-4, there is Moses and Elijah that comes to seal them. Not because you can't seal unless you believe. You can't believe unless you hear. You can't hear without someone being sent. I can't hear you. Is that right? Now, and after they are killed, under that same ministry comes a resurrection and rapture. Huh? Is the resurrection and rapture under Moses and Elijah the we? That we becomes Matthew 24:31. Let's read it. And he, who is the he? God. Amen. Shall send his angels. How many? Two. Moses and Elijah. With the great of sound of how many trumpets? Two men. One message. A trump. And he shall gather together the elect of the four winds. Now who scattered them to the four winds? Blinded. Scattered. And now God is ready to gather them. Is that right? Amen. God has together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And from the minute he says it, goes into the parable of the fig tree. Alright? So watch carefully. Now, the key to this, why Brother Branham used this, and the reason I want to go here is because I want to follow the pattern of how the seal was broke. That seventh seal was broke. We cannot go wrong. We can't be better teachers than the Holy Spirit. We can't be better teachers than the prophet. Right? He doesn't explain everything, but if you follow the same pattern of line, right, you will come to why it is he does what he does. Right? There's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit, right? Now watch. There is a law, and the law says that the seventh seal is to the Gentile, the seventh trumpet is to the Jews. Now, I want to use the law of equality. If A equals B, can I say B equals A? Can I say that? I can? Well, if this is seventh seal, then the sealing of the 144,000 is seventh trumpet. Is that right? Now, if they are equal, do I have prophet on this side? Then I must have a prophet for the shout. Is that God in the form of prophet here, son of man? Well, then I must have son of man here. If I have the unveiling of the atonement here, let's go to Zechariah 12:9. And it shall come to pass in that day I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. That's the Third World War. Right? And I will pour upon the house of David upon the inhabitants of Judah the spirit of what? Well, then, the headstone that brought grace here is going over there. Is that right? It's going over. So, that means, under, and like I said, I'm laying the material out, so let's do it. There's shout, there's voice, and there's trump. Under the trump, there's a threefold mystery. The first thing that happens is the bride goes up for the supper. Right? Satan comes down and incarnates the Pope. Right? And guess who appears on the scene? Moses and Elijah. Who's that, son of man? Now, is the trump, this trump that unfolds, is that not on the seventh seal? So under the out of the seventh seal comes the seventh trumpet. Moses and Elijah appearing. Is that not the seventh trumpet? Well, isn't there threefold mystery under the trumpet? But isn't the trumpet under sound voice and trumpet, not under the Lord himself shall descend from heaven? He said he's coming directly to Israel. But he couldn't go directly without stopping and getting his bride. Isn't that what he said? Revelation 10:1 is coming directly to in the seal book. So grace that was not given to Israel is given to Israel in the form of two prophets and a message. Now, what came over to us? The headstone of what? Grace comes over to us in a form, amen, God provided a prophet. Grace provided a prophet. Grace provided a token. Grace provided a pillar of fire. Is that right? Grace provided a message. Amen. Is that not grace providing for them too? And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourning for his only son. And he shall be. What is this? Is there not a revealing, amen, of the Son of God? Is there not a revealing? Is there not the atonement being revealed? Is there not a revealing? Is there not an unveiling here? That we might know who the Father is and the Son? You see, the Jews have no problem believing in the Father. They have a problem believing with the Son. Right? If the Gentiles have a problem believing because they were Trinitarians and oneness. They were messed up. Right? So under this message, you'll hear him say, who is this? Who is this Melchizedek? The unveiling of God. The mighty God unveiled. Unrecognized presence of God. Who is Jesus? Christ revealed in his own word. Right here. And shall be in mourning for one as in bitterness of his first. Now watch carefully again now. In that day shall there be a great mourning. What are they doing? They're mourning because who they rejected. Who is going to do the mourning? 144,000. The rest will rejoice. Now, there's going to be two mourning. This mourning here, that's happening in Jerusalem, and the mourning in Habdi and the valley. There are two mournings going on. One is the mourning for the 144,000 because they recognize what they did. And the other mourning is because God is throwing the judgment now. Armageddon is on its way. Two mournings. That's like there are two suppers. There's supper of the bride and there's supper of the great God. Two mournings. And the land shall mourn. And every family apart. So two things will happen. And the family of the house of David apart. And their wives apart. And the house of Nathan apart. And their wives apart. And the family of the house of Levi. So that's 144,000. Coming to the knowledge of the word of Christ. Going up. All the families. Okay, now, 13th chapter. Watch carefully again. And in that day, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For what? And the inhabitants is only the 144,000. For sin, this is when Gabriel, amen, 6-4 purpose is accomplished for the end. To end what? The transgression. To make an end of what? Sin. And for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, say the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. Why? They'll come to know their God. Their heart, their veil will come off of it. And they shall no more be remembered. And I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Amen. What is it? He's purifying. He's bringing back a people. And it shall come to pass that when any shall prophesy, then his father and his mother begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. Now you say, why is that put in there? It means that this 144,000 is not going to be brought up with the traditions of his mother and father and brother and sister. They're going to have an absolute vindicated message. They say, that's a lie. It's not lying up with Moses and Elijah.
Is that right? Now, let us evaluate what we have here. Under this seven trumpet, I'll give you one more of seven trumpet. Let's go to Genesis 45. Never bear me, I. Joseph could not refrain himself from all that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." Right? Because the unveiling of God is only for the 144,000, just like the unveiling of the God is only for the bride. You understand? He's making himself known. So this is an unveiling under the seventh trumpet. This is an unveiling of seventh trumpet too. Right? Seven seal here, seven trumpet here. And Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he caused every man to go out from him. Now notice, every man that is not of the 144,000 is not going to know him. I can't hear you. The revelation of who he is will only be known by 144,000. That's why the rapture is only for the bride. She's the only one who's going to know about the seven seal. Everybody else will whistle through the graveyard. But for her, it comes easy because it's her promise. Amen. If God promised you, you don't have to fight for it. You don't have to beg for it. Amen. You just have to thank Him for it. Cause every man to go from me. And there stood no man with him. While Joseph made himself what? Is that a revealing? Is that the unveiling? Is that the seventh trumpet? Is that the morning? Is that a house? Amen. A fountain open in the house of David. Amen. For the cleansing. Amen. And isn't this the people who are going to be afraid? Isn't he going to comfort them and say, "Amen. No, God did this to preserve life." Amen. Is he going to justify them? Is he going to grant them pardon? I can't hear you. Is he going to pardon them? Is there a pardon here? Is there justification here? Is there a pardon here? Is there justification here? Is there unveiling here? Is there unveiling here? Is there calling out a Jewish tradition here? Is there calling out a man-made tradition here? Is hearts turned back here? Is hearts turned back here? Is there a prophet here? Is there a prophet here? Now I want to ask you now. Is there a resurrection here? Is there a resurrection here? Is there a rapture here? Is it a rapture here? Amen. That's why he took Revelation 7, 1 to 4. Because if you look at the seventh seal and try to follow it outside of his pattern, you can never make the parallel. That is why when the prophet was wanting to preach on the trumpet, he said, "You already preach it already in the seals. You already preach it already." So he did not preach the seventh trumpet. That's what I'm doing here now. He only preached the feast of the trumpets, which is the first six trumpets. To compare it, that the trumpets, the feast of the trumpets gather Israel. Right? Just like the seals gather the bride for seven church ages, them that died in Christ. Amen? Continue. All right. Under this seal, when Joseph make himself known, right, making himself known, did Joseph had already come to the throne? Did Joseph already have his bride? I can't hear you. Was she already in the palace? Was she already, is that right? Did Joseph already have his name changed? Did Joseph already had all power and authority from Pharaoh? Is he on Joseph's throne? Now watch carefully now. Let's look at it. Is the shout the bride's message? He calls it the living bread of life. He calls it the message of the hour. Is that what he calls it? Hear what he says. In what's the attraction? I've got my mind set on this message. That's the third pull. That's the one I must be loyal and reverence to. I cannot hear you. What is the message? Is it a third pull? Is it a fulfilling of the tenth vision? God veiled behind a man.
Amen. Where were you meeting God? Under Billy Graham? Amen. Where was God meeting you? Not in that tent? Where was God's headquarters? Wasn't that Branham Tabernacle? It wasn't a building? Amen. Was it not Branham Tabernacle? Where you want healing? Where did you go to? The building Branham Tabernacle or Branham Tabernacle? Where did he say my headquarters will be? Branham Tabernacle. Where did he say I'll bring all my messages from? Branham Tabernacle. Yet he went, listen carefully, yet he went and preached in Ramada Inn. He went and preached all over the place. But it was still Branham Tabernacle. Continue. And when he gets on tape, which that will probably be 10,000 of my friends away from me, because they're going to say Brother Branham is trying to make himself, you see, and make himself a servant or a prophet or something before God. Let me tell you, brethren, that's an error. I'm only telling you what I see, what I've seen and has been told to me. Now, you do whatever you want. See, I don't know who's going to, what's going to take place. I do not know. I just know those seven thunders hold that mystery that heaven was quiet. The mystery of the half hour of silence is held by the thunders, which means the message is going to tell you what is happening on the earth. I can't hear you. What is happening on the earth? All right, carefully. He says, notice, so help me God, I tell the truth. These are spiritually discerned to me. Oh, I hope I didn't mess up here. I did. One second. Right here. Now notice, so help me God. These are spiritually discerned to me. Discerned by the Holy Spirit. By every one of them. Identify its place in the Bible. Now what this great secret is that lays beneath this seal. I've been trying to show you. What secret lays beneath this seal. Somebody will say, the seventh is not revealed. But where did we get this from? Who did we follow to get this? He made the rule. What the seventh seal is to the Gentiles, the seventh trumpet is to the Jews. If A equals B, then anybody who do any little simple math know that A equals B, B equals A. Is that right? All right. He continues now. What is great secret that lays beneath? I do not know. I do not know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it just what it is. What it said. Just what it, you see, I couldn't tell what it said. But I know it was those seven thunders uttering themselves right close. Just banging seven different times. And unfolded into something else I seen. I thought it was made known to him. It was not made known to him completely. It unfolded. Now I'm going to tell you a secret here. Why did Brother Bram go to Tucson, Arizona, after the vision of December? Why did he go to Tucson, Arizona? To meet up with those angels, right? To send him back and open the seals. So questions and answers, somebody asked him. Brother Branham, you told us the first time why you went to Tucson, Arizona and lived. Was to meet up with his angels. He said, but why did you go back to live? Why did you go back a second time and continue to live there? And Brother Branham said, you see, I can't tell you everything. You see, some things you cannot say because Satan will get hold of it. But if you have... What was he going? He was going back there to catch up the inspirations from under that seventh seal to unfold the seventh seal message, which we call thunders, one, 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 one. Every one of them has identified its place in the Bible. I don't know, you see, but I know it was there seven thunders. So, can I say the half hour silence is the seven thunder? Can I say Revelation 10:1 is seven seal? Can I say 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is seven seal? Can I say Revelation 3:20 is seven seal? Can I say Luke 21:27 is seven seal? I can say that, right? All right, let's go again. Can I say third pull is seven seal? Can I see the second climax, the seventh seal? All right. So he said, and when I seen it, I looked for the interpretation that flew across here. I couldn't make it out. Just exactly, friends. See, the hour isn't quite yet for it. It's not that it didn't break. They say it's not open, some of them. It is open. The Lamb opened all of them. Right? But since this is a present day seal and a prophet is still alive, it means God have more to say. If he had already revealed it, if the seven south thunders were the seven seals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, then he could have died the next day because he already preached it. But since he kept on living, kept on preaching, it meant God didn't stop talking. The hour isn't quite for it. But it's moving into that cycle, see? It's coming up close. So the thing to do is to remember, I speak in the name of the Lord and prepare yourself and so forth. Now look. My time is up. Alright. I'm going to read one quote for you here. And I'll close with it. Now watch very carefully. Why is there a half hour of silence? And why is there thunder? Here's a prophet. Now we find out corruption that's in this seventh church age. But the seventh seal doesn't reveal anything. It's only a half hour silence. It doesn't say anything. Why? What's going to happen? Not what happened. What's going to happen? Because all the other seals go back. They were historical. Go back and catch the mystery that they left through the age. Now, I know some people say, well, the mystery that they left. Listen carefully. The seven thunders is not the seven seas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, red horse, whatever. No. The seven thunders is the mystery that is hid after those seals are open. Do you understand that? After the seals are open, then you can look for the hidden things that are in there. There's nothing to hinder you who look for it. Say, prove it to me, okay? Luther preached justification, right? What did not Luther catch about justification? What true justification was. I can't hear you. Wesley preached sanctification. The prophet come and preach. God's sanctification is total separation from unbelief. He said Wesley was a legalist. I can't hear you. Amen. Pentecost preached a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? The prophet said you could baptize 24 hours a day and not have the Holy Ghost. He says that gene. What was laying there? They didn't live long. They didn't live long enough to come into the great secret. Amen. Of full. What full redemption is. What that means. So Luther preached justification. Was that really true justification? Did a prophet have to come and straighten it out? Well, where did he get that from? And how do you get total separation from all unbelief? How do you get totally separated from all unbelief? And how can you be truly justified? Justification don't lay in you. Justification lay in God. He's the only one who justifies the ungodly. Amen. And he's the only one who knows the condition that he can justify someone with. Because the Bible said, blessed is the man who God will not impute sin. And in justification message, Brother Branham brings that clear path out with David. So here's the secret. Now we find our corruption hits in the seventh church here, but the seventh seal doesn't reveal anything. Why doesn't the seventh seal reveal anything? Why is there only silence? What's going to happen? See, because of the end of the church age is to come a prophetic gift to reveal these things. I can't hear you. In other words, it's a half hour silence. Why? Because there's a prophet on the earth to tell you, what is this half hour silence? What is this seven thunders? Are you following? That's not my words. That's his words, friend. Amen? That's his words. All right. I don't want to tire you out. But we just only began. I hope and pray for the elect. Their gene is waiting on these things. That little seed is waiting. It cannot hold still. And in the presence of these truths, it just stimulates her. It excites her. It places her on the kind of hope and expectation that she needs to be on every service you come to. Amen. The ministry has to put you on such expectation that every service when you come, your expectation is so high because these things are laying there. And that is when you have come back to your first love. Amen. That is when you've come back in the spirit of the word. Amen. And with that attitude and that expectation, then anything can happen in the church. Until that time, they have fooled you to believe that church is boring or you just come, it's a drag. You can't wait for those doors to open because you are in the same spirit of what God is pouring out through the True Fivefold Ministry. God bless you. God keep you. God cause His face to shine upon you. Give you much grace. Brother Louis.
Amen. We love the Lord. Amen. We appreciate God tonight for the gift that God has sent to us. Amen. We thank God for the prophet of God. Amen. In this hour, God has given to us so that we can understand these things, and He takes the fivefold ministry to break it down to us. Amen. We appreciate each one of you. We know, despite the weather, you've come along and you've braved the evening. The meeting will continue tomorrow at 7. And also on Wednesday, so please, you can invite your families and your friends. We did invite the believers in Durban, but unfortunately, that's because of the weather and the traffic, the accidents. So many could not come tonight. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads in prayer, but the tents will come and close as well. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your servant. Despite, O God, the long weekend of preaching out, O God, and traveling, we are thankful, O God, that You could renew His energy. And Father, that tonight that we could understand the things that, Lord, that we need to know in this hour. Father, because Your prophet says the bride is caught up in the mystery of the seventh seal. We appreciate You, Lord, for what You are telling us, Lord, because these are the things that excite us, O Father. And these are the things that, Lord, that will cause this bride to be stirred up, O Father. We appreciate, O God, the believers that have traveled despite the bad weather. We ask of You, Father, for Your angels to encamp around them and take them back home safe. Lord, there's so much of accidents on the roadside, but we thank You, O God, for safe hands upon the believers. We also pray, O God, that You will strengthen Your servant, Father, that You will just renew His energy, fortify his life and his ministry, O God. And we also thank You for the many, Lord, across the world that is tuning in tonight on the live streaming. We pray that You bless the bride of Jesus Christ. Father, even as we continue tonight, inspire our hearts. Lord, even as we sing, Lord, in songs that we worship You and love You now. We give You glory and ask this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen.